Tonight, 1 Chronicles, chapters 23 and 24. We're in the life of David, and we're the chronicler's presentation of David's life. We're in the last stages. Last week we saw where David wanted to count his mighty men. Satan had moved him to do so. This was, according to Joab's presentation to David, that this was all for David's ego. And advised him not to, because he would bring the guilt upon Israel. David did not take heed to what Joab said, and he counted the men, and God brought judgment and gave David a choice. David took the choice of submitting to the hand of God, as God would express that judgment, and 70,000 Israelites fell to the plague that God brought. And of course David repented of it all. God required that he bring a sacrifice and make a sacrifice for his sin, and led him to come to the property of Ornan, the threshing floor. And there he was to build a temple. The great text that I keep making mention to constantly, it was 2 Samuel 24:24. But its equivalent is 1 Chronicles 21:24, when Ornan said to David that he would donate the property, donate the animals for sacrifice, and even donate the threshing floor. He could tear it apart and build, use it for the altar. So all the materials, all the animals for sacrifice, and the property itself, that Ornan would give it to David as a gift. David's response in chapter 21, verse 24, "No, but I will certainly purchase it for the full price, for I will not take what is yours for the Lord." Interesting. I'm not going to take someone's gift in order to offer it to the Lord. "Nor offer burnt offerings with that which costs me nothing." In other words, it's not a sacrifice unless it costs you something. If it's out of our abundance, if somebody gives us something in order that we might make offering or sacrifice to the Lord, then it really hasn't come from us. It hasn't come from the heart. And God doesn't accept anything unless it is sacrifice. If it's in our abundance, that's not from the heart. And so David expressed the fact that he would pay full price for the property. He doesn't want any freebies or any discounts. That he would pay full price, because when he made his expression to the Lord through the sacrifice, it would certainly be a sacrifice from his own heart and not something that somebody has given to him. And there David made the sacrifice unto the Lord, and he prepared there, he prepared the threshing floor for the tabernacle of the Lord. And in chapter 22, David began to provide the materials and gather up materials in order to build the temple on this piece of property. In verse 6 of chapter 22, he says, "Then he called for his son Solomon and charged him to build a house for the Lord God of Israel. And David said to Solomon, 'My son, as for me, it was in my mind to build a house to the name of the Lord my God. But the word of the Lord came to me, saying, You have shed much blood and have made great wars. You shall not build a house for my name, because you have shed much blood on the earth in my sight. Behold, a son shall be born to you. You shall be a man of rest, and I will give him rest from all of his enemies all around. His name shall be Solomon," which, as we mentioned to you, comes from Shalom, which means rest. "For I will give peace and quietness to Israel in his days. He shall build a house for my name, and he shall be my son, and I will be his father. I will establish the throne of his kingdom over Israel forever. Now, my son, may the Lord be with you. May you prosper and build the house of the Lord your God, as he has said to you." So David, passing on to his son Solomon, that even though David had it in his mind to build God a house, God told him no, but that God would give him a son that would build a house. And he's telling Solomon, "Son Solomon, you are that son. And you are to build God the house." In verse 17, David also commanded all the leaders of Israel to help Solomon his son, saying, "Is not the Lord your God with you? And has he not given you rest on every side? For he has given the inhabitants of the land into my hand, and the land is subdued before the Lord and before his people. Now set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God. Therefore arise and build the sanctuary of the Lord God to bring the ark of the covenant of the Lord and the holy articles of God into the house that is to be built for the name of the Lord." Now in chapter 23, we have, up till now, David has appointed Solomon and appointed the leaders, their positions of building and their positions of responsibility. David has gathered up the materials needed for the building of the temple, even though he himself was not going to build it. But it is interesting in chapters 23 and 24, which many people see as the most boring chapters in the Bible. Boring, by the way, is a fleshly term. It is not a spiritual term. It is boring to the flesh. But it is the Word of God. It again divides up the responsibilities of the temple upkeep and the church and the temple services and all the activities that were to go on in the temple. It was to be done in order by these people, appointed people by God, and David put them in an orderly arrangement to handle the services. What we see here, in that it is the Word of God, and what I had seen is a title, a good New Testament scripture for the title of chapters 23 and 24, is 1 Corinthians 14:40, where Paul told the Christians in Corinth, "Let all things be done decently and in order." Is that God has a chosen way, and God has chosen people. We don't realize that. Sometimes we take volunteers off the street or even out of the church that have no testimony nor ability, spiritual ability or testimony, to do the work or tasks at hand. And yet the Scripture indicates that every single function in relation to the church, and many, as we'll see as we go through these chapters, has to do with some mundane things, some things that people have to do in the upkeep of the temple that normally the people who would come to the temple wouldn't even know about. The cleaning of the temple, the hygiene of the temple, keeping it germ-free and keeping it clean, much like in church today. We think that some of the upkeep of the church is something that that might not mean anything to the Lord, has no spiritual significance. But we learn from these chapters that there is every need, physical, financial, repairs, upkeep, cleaning, whatever the case may be, is very important to the Lord. Not only for cleanliness' sake, but if anything, to keep things from being a distraction. I mean, we've had it here in this church where just having a plugged toilet is a distraction to what we're doing by way of the study of the Word of God. And some things can be a distraction, just maybe just not cleaning. We have a problem that if we don't clean, we have a lot of spiders and spider webs and this type of thing, it being an old building. And so that can be a distraction and distract people and make things uncomfortable for people. You know, you share the pew with a few spiders and that might unnerve you, you know. So the cleaning of the place where God's people meet, the upkeep of it, the various chores, to God is important. And that's what these chapters tell us. 1 Corinthians 14:40, "Let all things be done decently and in order." Chapter 23, "So when David was old and full of days, he made his son Solomon king over Israel. And he gathered together all the leaders of Israel with the priests and the Levites." So David is about to die. He appoints Solomon as king over Israel, but he gives the following decrees. "Now the Levites were numbered from the age of 30 years and above, and the number of individual males was 38,000. So apparently the Levites had increased by 30,000 since they had come out of Egypt. And there are now 38,000 Levites. Now remember, God chose the Levites to serve. Just like in our day, it isn't a certain tribe or a certain family name, but there are people out of God's people that He calls out to serve Him in certain capacities. And all the capacities and functions, all the way from the high priest who leads in the service, to the people who change the showbread and clean and polish the vessels in the temple, who clean, who repair, to keep the physical premises functioning. All of these people are important, but they have been appointed by God. That's what it tells us. God has appointed people for every position and for every function. He says, verse 5, 4,000 were gatekeepers. And those are people who kept the gate, kept it in order, stood at the stations, and not only for security reasons, but for help. 4,000 praised the Lord with instruments. How would you like to have that for a praise service? 4,000 who went in shifts that played musical instruments for the temple services, which I made, and said David, for giving praise. So the instruments he gave, he made and had made, as well as the musicians themselves. And most of the musicians were exposed to David's school of music, so to speak, and his psalms and his praise. And so they were following along in his line. Also, David separated them into divisions amongst the sons of Levi: Gershon, Kohath, and Merari. Of the Gershonites, La'adan and Shimei. The sons of La'adan, the first, Jehiel, then Jetham and Joel, three in all. The sons of Shimei were Shelemith, Haziel, and Haran, three in all. These were the heads of the fathers' houses of La'adan. And the sons of Shimei: Jahath, Zina, Juesh, and Beriah. These were the four sons of Shimei. Jahath was the first, and Zizah the second. But Juesh and Beriah did not have many sons. Therefore, they were assigned as one father's house. So they combined their households because they did not have many sons. It's interesting. These are the things that the king did. After choosing the site, which God actually chose, actually getting the materials together, after charging Solomon and charging the officials, it is interesting that David spent his last days, instead of saying, "I'm old, Solomon's now king, I'm dying, Solomon, you're now the king, take over and arrange this." This is what David did in his last days, was made sure that everything was done decently and in order. Everything was, all the families were listed who were eligible and assigned to serve. The sons of Kohath: Amram, Izhar, Hebron, and Uziel, four in all. The sons of Amram: Aaron and Moses. And Aaron was set apart, he and his sons forever, that he should sanctify the most holy things, to burn incense before the Lord, to minister to him, and to give the blessing in his name forever. So the family of Aaron were to be the high priests. They were set apart from all the other Levites, and it was Aaron's lineage that would serve as the high priests. Now the sons of Moses, the man of God, were reckoned to the tribe of Levi. The sons of Moses were Gershon and Eleazar. Of the sons of Gershon, Shebuel was the first. Of the descendants of Eleazar, Rahabiah was the first. And Eleazar had no other sons, but the sons of Rahabiah were very many. Of the sons of Izhar, Shelemith was the first. Of the sons of Hebron, Jeriah was the first, Amariah the second, Jahaziel the third, and Jachamim the fourth. Of the sons of Uziel, Micah was the first, and Jeshiah the second. The sons of Merari were Mahli and Mushi. The sons of Mahli were Eleazar and Kish. And Eleazar died and had no sons, but only daughters. And their brethren, the sons of Kish, took them as wives. The sons of Mushi were Mahli, Eder, and Jeremoth, three in all. These were the sons of Levi by their fathers' houses. The heads of the fathers' houses, as they were counted individually by the number of their names, who did the work for the service of the house of the Lord, from the age of 20 years and above. Kind of interesting. They didn't take anybody from under 20 years of age. 20 years older, they took them for service. They're ready for service in the temple. For David said, "The Lord God of Israel has given rest to his people, that they may dwell in Jerusalem forever. And also to the Levites," and he's quoting God now, "they shall no longer carry the tabernacle or any of the articles for its service." It's kind of interesting. We'll finish this out and point out something to you. "For by the last words of David, the Levites were numbered from 20 years old and above." Now, it is interesting. You remember the Levites were put in charge to carry the portable tabernacle through the wilderness, to set it up, to provide the services, to take it down, and to keep carrying it. Well, this was now to be the permanent home and residence. And I think it's interesting how that the Levites have had all these years to prepare themselves, their families. Every member of the family of the Levite was involved in this entire process through the wilderness, only to arrive at this particular point in history, and after the temple is built, for them to perform permanent service in a physical building. The preparation time is very important. They've had all that time to go through the hardship of going through the wilderness and learning how to serve the Lord. And now the end result is that many generations have been passed along on how to serve in the temple, and now that the temple was going to be built as a permanent physical building, that experienced people were now ready for service here in the tabernacle. Verse 28, "Because their duty was to help the sons of Aaron in the service of the house of the Lord, in the courts and in the chambers, in the purifying of all the holy things, and the work of the service of the house of God, both with the showbread and the fine flour for the grain offering, with the unleavened cakes and what is baked in the pan, with what is mixed and with all kinds of measures and sizes, to stand every morning to thank and praise the Lord, and likewise at evening, and at every presentation of a burnt offering to the Lord on the Sabbaths and on the new moons and on the set feasts, by number according to the ordinance governing them, regularly before the Lord, and that they should attend to the needs of the tabernacle of meeting, the needs of the holy place, and the needs of the sons of Aaron, their brethren, in the work of the house of the Lord." So everything that had to be done, many of the things that had to be done were not seen by people. The mixing of the flours, the baking of the showbread, when you went into the tabernacle area, all you saw was the showbread. Not taking into consideration that there were people who were chosen to make that showbread faithfully. And all of the purifying and the cleansing, and even to offer the prayers, both morning and evening to the Lord, was all put to these people to be done decently and in order as God has appointed. Chapter 24. Now these are the divisions of the sons of Aaron. The sons of Aaron were Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar. And Nadab and Abihu died before their father and had no children. Therefore Eleazar and Ithamar ministered as priests. Then David, with Zadok of the sons of Eleazar, and Ahimelech of the sons of Ithamar, divided them according to the schedule of their service. There were more leaders found of the sons of Eleazar than with the sons of Ithamar, and thus they were divided. Among the sons of Eleazar were 16 heads of their fathers' houses, and 8 heads of their fathers' houses amongst the sons of Ithamar. Thus they were divided by lot, one group as another, for there were officials of the sanctuary and officials of the house of God, from the sons of Eleazar and from the sons of Ithamar. And the scribe, Shemaiah, the son of Nathaniel, one of the Levites, wrote them down before the king, the leaders, Zadok the priest, Ahimelech the son of Abiathar, and the heads of the fathers' houses of the priests and Levites, one father's house taken for Eleazar and one for Ithamar. Now the first lot fell to Jehoiarib, the second to Jediah, the third to Harim, the fourth to Seorim, the fifth to Malkiah, the sixth to Miyamin, the seventh to Hakots, the eighth to Abijah, the ninth to Jeshua, the tenth to Shechaniah, the 11th to Eliashib, the 12th to Jachim, the 13th to Huwa, the 14th to Jeshabiah, the 15th to Bilgah, the 16th to Emer, the 17th to Hadzir, the 18th to Hapibzez, the 19th to Pethahiah, the 20th to Jehezekiel, the 21st to Jachin, the 22nd to Gamul, the 23rd to Delilah, the 24th to Maaziah. This was the schedule of their service for coming into the house of the Lord according to their ordinance by the hand of Aaron their father, as the Lord God of Israel had commanded him. Now what is interesting is that there are 24 divisions. These 24 divisions had various schedules throughout the year. It is interesting that Zacharias, the father to John the Baptist, you remember in Luke chapter 1 that Zacharias, it was his order to serve in the temple area. And what they would do is they would come for a week. They actually served over a period of 2 weeks. They'd serve for a week, and then they'd wait another 23, and then they'd serve a week. And each family and each division served for a week. So you showed up at the beginning of the week, and they divided by lots as to who was going to serve in what capacity for that week. And they would do it by lots. And how they would choose by lots is they would have a bag with marbles in it. There'd be all black marbles except for one, and one would be a white marble. Whichever priest picked out the white marble, that priest would serve as high priest for that week. They said if you were fortunate or lucky, you might serve as high priest once in your lifetime, just because of the several thousands that would show up to get assigned as to what their duties would be in the service of the temple every time they came together. It is interesting that when Zacharias showed up with the other few thousand that were in his family to serve within the 24 divisions, is that when his lot, he chose the white marble. He was the one who was burning incense in at the altar for the people when the angel Gabriel appeared to him and announced to him that that Elizabeth was going to give birth to a son. Now what was interesting is that when Zacharias went out to pronounce the blessing on the people, the high priest was the one who went out at the end of the service, or at the end of the week, would go out and pronounce the benediction and blessing on the people, is that he couldn't talk. And Luke chapter 1 says the people knew that he had seen a vision or seen something or seen an angel while in there. He was white as a sheet and couldn't talk. And they knew that he had had an encounter with God. And so it was within this division, within this order, that Zacharias chose the white marble. And it was back in 1 Chronicles chapter 24 that's recorded for us that Shammai the recorder was next to David. And they made up this schedule of 24 divisions who would serve within the temple on a rotating basis of Aaron's family, the priests. Verse 20. And the rest of the sons of Levi, of the sons of Amram, Shubael, of the sons of Shubael, Jediah, concerning Rehabiah, of the sons of Rehabiah, the first was Ishia, of the Isharites, Shilamoth, of the sons of Shilamoth, Jahath, of the sons of Hebron, were Jeriah was the first, Amariah the second, Jahaziel the third, and Jachamiam the fourth. Of the sons of Hutziel, Mikah, of the sons of Mikah, Shamir. The brother of Mikah was Ishia. Of the sons of Ishia, Zechariah. The sons of Merari were Mahli and Mushi. The son of Jaaziah was Beno. The sons of Merari by Jaaziah were Beno, Shoham, Zachar, and Ibri. Of Mahli, Eliezer, who had no sons. Of Kish, the son of Kish, Jeramiel. Also the sons of Mushi were Mahli, Eder, and Jerimoth. These were the sons of the Levites according to their fathers' houses. These also cast lots, just as their brothers, the sons of Aaron, did, in the presence of King David. Zadok, Ahimelech, and the heads of their fathers' houses of the priests and Levites. The chief fathers did just as their younger brethren. So they came and they cast lots as to which tribe and which family and which people were going to perform which functions in the tabernacle area. It tells us the importance. Not just leaving things up for random, not asking for volunteers, but actually seeking out, knowing that God has a choice, a chosen person, even if there is a need in the church, and I don't care what it is. If there is a need in the church, God has a chosen person for that to perform that function. And secondly, the Lord has given them the desire and the ability to do it. There's no such thing as who will volunteer. There's a lot of people who aspire and volunteer for things. But it's God's chosen person. Let's close by turning to Acts chapter 6 and see this basic principle that's been carried over. Remember in Acts chapter 6 that the early disciples, the original disciples or apostles, were Jewish. They were used to things being done decently and in order in the temple area. We have in Acts chapter 6 verse 1, "Now in those days, when the number of the disciples were multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists." Now the Hellenists, the word Hellenist means Greek-speaking. These were Greek-speaking Jews who were complaining against the Hebrews. Now you have to understand here that this was a certain section of town. The Hellenists, the Greek-speaking Jews, lived in a certain section of Jerusalem. The Hebrews, the Hebrew-speaking Jews, of course, lived in their section. And the Hebrew-speaking Jews would go to the Hebrew-speaking widows and distribute the bread. Well, no one who could speak in Greek went to the Hellenists or the Greek-speaking Jews to furnish bread for their widows. So it is interesting, just understanding this, the widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. They're being overlooked. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and says, "It is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from amongst you 7 men of good reputation." That means a good testimony. "Full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this matter." Now, it is interesting that the apostles didn't appoint people, but basically it had to come as a testimony from the entire group as to who's going to serve in what capacity. And notice what the requirement was, that they had to have a continuous testimony of being filled with the Holy Spirit and wisdom in their daily life and in everything they did. Now, this is the basic requirement for all of God's service. A person must have the testimony amongst all the believers as being constantly under the influence of the Holy Spirit and wisdom in handling matters of life. Not fleshy, not carnal, not personally self-indulgent or looking out for what one wants. But certainly, if somebody said, well, there's a need in the church. And I don't care what the need is. Distribution of bread, people would say, well, just throw some bread on the back of a cart and take it over there. You know, give it to them and then they'll stop complaining. But no. The distribution of bread was part of God's work with God's people. So it has nothing to do with church service. It has to do with anything that has to do with the Lord's work. Who has the testimony of being filled with the Holy Spirit and wisdom? He says that we may appoint over this business. Therefore, brethren, seek out from amongst you seven men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. That we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the same pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith in the Holy Spirit, and Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch. Interesting, all Greek names. It's because they were chosen from the Hellenist community to take bread to their own section of the city, people they can communicate with. Even though they were all one body of Christ, it is obvious that the widows were being overlooked, not because they were being slighted, but because the Hebrews could not communicate with them and there was nobody from their community to represent them. So there had to be some representation there. And so these seven men, some of them later on in the book of Acts, became very well known, especially Stephen, who is stoned. But these men are appointed over this business. And so whom they set before the apostles, verse 6, and when they had prayed, they laid hands on them. Then the word of God spread, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. So basically, things were done decently and in order. Those who were ministering the word, they said, it is not right for us to leave prayer and the ministry of the word to serve tables, because it takes away from the word of God. But to see what the end result is that the word of God increased. The reason the word of God increased is because everything was done decently and in order. Those who were to pray and study and give the word were left to that. They didn't have to leave that to go take bread over, you know. And yet, it was not a slight thing. It's important. Somebody had to be filled with the Holy Spirit and wisdom to handle every aspect of God's work. But not the apostles, because they had to give the word. And because everything was done decently and in order, the word spread. And when the word spread, people came to know the Lord. So things were done decently in order. But I think it's interesting that whatever the function of the church, this is not, do I have volunteers? This is not throw some bread on the back of a wagon and take it over to them, you know, type of a thing. This is involved with God's work. All of God's work must be done decently and in order. It must be the person that God chooses and appoints. And that appointment and choosing will come through the testimony of God's people. And that testimony will be someone who is under the influence of the Holy Spirit and wisdom in the way in which they go about handling their life and handling the Lord's business. So all of this taken, as we took chapters 23 and 24 from 1 Chronicles tonight, it shows, I mean, that takes a lot of time to sit there and list people and divide the rotation up into 24 divisions to rotate as high priests and priests in the temple. I mean, all this takes planning and organization, but it shows just how important that is to the Lord, that everything be done decently and in order. And it's not just anybody. It was the Levites. These were God's chosen people. What happened if somebody from outside the Levites, from the tribe of Dan, would come up and say, I want to serve. I'm sorry. It has to be the people that God chooses to do that. You can come and he's chosen you to participate, but he has chosen certain ones to serve him in this special capacity. But it has to be done decently and in order. Let's close with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we just thank you because handling your details about the temple and about your work and about your service helps us to understand that you're in just as much detail in your involvement in our personal life. That you would have us individually to do things decently and in order, and that you are involved in every detail, every discipline. But as far as your work goes, it's the same. It's discipline, it's orderliness, it's proportioning out what is proper, one not leaving their responsibilities to do another because that weakens their function. And yet at the same time, every function in the body of Christ is to be done by the person that you have appointed and the person you have chosen and the person who has the testimony of being filled with the Holy Spirit and wisdom for that particular task. And we just thank you that every task is important, from cleaning to repairs to all the way through to the giving of your word and the various people who participate in the giving of the service is all important in your eyes, and all to be done decently in order. And how we minimize, we love to go to church or we love to go to Bible study, but we minimize the tasks at hand, that even the cleaning and the repairs and all the different things that need to be done, they are in service to you. They are part of our worship to you. As these people, as we read tonight, they served you in the temple, but in the morning and in the evening, they stopped to give you thanks and to give you praise and to remember you, and to whatever they did in their service in the temple, it was done as part of their expression of their worship and praise to you. May we do everything decently in order, and may we see that some of the tasks that you have appointed us to do are not all that glorious, but they are from us to you. They're part of our service to you. It is spiritual, and we thank you for the opportunity to serve you, and help us to see that this is pleasing in your sight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.